Today is found in the book of Jonah. We began speaking to you last week about the city Nineveh, how great it was, how many inhabitants it had, and how long it was, and how high the walls were, and how many towers were on it. And we likewise began to speak about Jonah, how that he was commissioned to go up to this city to cry against it, because the wickedness of this city had come up before God. The God then came to him with his word to send him to go to Nineveh. But Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he went down to the city of Joppa to find a ship that was going to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. And when he came down into Joppa, he found the ship that was going. He paid the fare thereof, and he entered into the ship to go to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, this man Jonah, he then was not going to Nineveh. Why wasn't he going there? What was the reason why that he didn't want to go there? Wasn't it a wonderful thing that God called him and sent him and gave him a word to tell unto the Ninevites what would happen to them? So this man Jonah, for some reason or other, the commentary says, probably because it was such a long and a dangerous journey to this city, or it's possible that he was afraid to go into this great and magnificent city to speak these words that God commanded him to speak. Now, they give several versions why. I would take it in consideration of what Jonah says in the fourth chapter himself, after he had been there and after he had such a blessing upon his ministry, he became angry with God. And he said, "Was not this the word that I said unto thee when I was back in my own country, that thou art a merciful and a long-suffering and a kind and a forgiving God?" Jonah, he knew that these people were heathens, and he did not want to see God communicate his grace and his favor to these heathens. He thought it should remain among the Jewish people. And because God sent him to this great city, he refused to go. He went down to Joppa. Joppa, that was a city somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 miles from Jerusalem. It was the most important port at that time that Jerusalem had. Everything that came into Jerusalem came through Joppa. At the present time, the modern name of it is Jaffa. He went down there to get a boat to go to Tarshish. According to the commentary, Tarshish was either in India or on the east coast of Africa. Some commentators say it was the same city in which the Apostle Paul was born in, Tarsus, in Cilicia, the capital of Cilicia. Anyway, he went down to this place and he got a ship to go, and he entered into the ship. Now, Jonah, he was being disobedient to God. He was a prophet sent by God, anointed by God. He had the spirit of prophecy in him. He was a chosen vessel of mercy. He was loved of God. And here now, he is running away from God. Surely he knew that he couldn't run away from God. He knew that God was all over present, but he was running away from the work that God sent him to do. He wasn't going to Nineveh to preach to it. That was all. He would rather die than go there. This is the way he felt about it. Jonah is a type of every one of us by nature, my hearers. Jonah, he went down into the hull of this ship, and he felt very secure there. He thought, well, I'm safe enough now. I'm on my way to Tarshish. So we, my hearers, we are like Jonah. God has come to us year after year, Sunday after Sunday, with his word and testimony to us. He has spoken unto us that we should not go on in our sins, that we should turn from our iniquities, that we should walk in his ways and obey him. And we, Jonah-like, we go on in our own way. We know that God most certainly will punish us for going on in this way. But we are very secure. We are just like Jonah. He felt safe enough when he was down in the hold of the ship. And how many do not feel secure and safe enough? They go on in their own way, in their own life, disobedient unto God. The curse of God hanging over their heads, and it can come down upon them any moment. But Jonah, he set sail with these men in this ship to go to Tarshish. And now God looked down. God knew what he was doing. God knew he was going the wrong way. But God loved Jonah. And it was in love to Jonah that God sent a terrific wind upon the sea. And there was a very sore tempest in the sea. And the ship in which Jonah and these mariners were was like to be broken because of the wind and the tempest that was in the sea. And we have a very beautiful emblem of how that God causes the stormy wind to rise in Psalm 107, and how that he makes the waves go up and down, and how that when we are in a ship, then likewise we begin to fear, and we begin to tremble, and we reel to and fro like a drunken man, it says, and we are at our wit's end. This is the way it was on this ship that Jonah was on with these mariners. Up and down this boat was going. Any moment, going to down to the bottom of the sea. And of course, these mariners, they had been accustomed to sailing the sea. This wasn't the first time that they were in such a storm. But this storm was an extraordinary storm. They never had been in a storm like this. This was a storm that God came with to follow after Jonah. God did not want Jonah to go on in his own way, and it was in mercy that God sent this storm. And the wind blew, and the ship was going up and down. Any moment it was going to go down to the bottom. And now these mariners on board this ship, and they all began to cry unto their God. They were heathens. They come from different countries. They all had their God that they worshiped. And they began to pray to their God, each one. It doesn't say that just a few prayed and the other two or three mocked them. No, they all prayed unto their God. Seeing this, my hearers, that God has put into the hearts of heathens even that knowledge that there is a God. When in trouble, when in distress, when fear of life takes place, then even heathens, they cry to God. So they were all crying unto their God. This is a great blessing, my hearers, when in this life God comes with his judgments upon a country, upon a city, upon a family, upon individuals, that there be some that have access, that have nearness to God, that pray to God and find God giving them to call upon him in truth and in uprightness. It's a mercy to have such in a congregation, in a nation too. For these men, they were praying to their gods. They were idol gods. What kind of gods they were, the scripture does not say. But they were in unity. They were all crying. What a mercy to have unity and to cry unto God. This they did in fear and anxiety of losing their life. How many of you, listen to me, have had storms come upon you in life? Sickness, accidents, strokes, death in the family, what a storm, what an affliction, what a trial to go through in life. And then you have cried unto God. Oh, what a mercy if you have been heard, you have been answered, you have been spared, those of you who have been given to be restored back to health and strength. What a good God we have to do with in heaven. For these people, they were all crying unto God. You know, most of the people, they never pray until they're frightened into it. You know, they have a saying, go down to the sea if you want to learn how to pray. You go into the sea, and the sea becomes stormy and becomes very terrific, tempestuous. But then we begin to pray, irrespective of we never prayed before. This is the saying they have in England. So many never pray until they are forced to pray. It's a mercy if God begins to teach us how to pray and gives us to pray, and we have answers to prayer. And now these men were all praying unto God, and this storm had been sent for who? For Jonah. Where was he? He was down in the sides of the ship, fast asleep. He never even heard the wind. He never noticed that the boat that he was in was being tossed to and fro and up and down. He lay fast asleep in the sides of the ship, in the hole of the ship. And he, a child of God, he, a prophet, he, one that was running away from God, he, being disobedient to the command of God. No fear, no anxiety. He felt safe enough. He was fast asleep, unconcerned. How many are like that amongst my hearers? How many times hasn't God awakened you and spoken to you in various ways, and you have remained just like Jonah, fast asleep? Probably like we read in Scripture, in the top of a mast, fast asleep. Any moment you could be cast into that awful eternity. Oh, what a terrible condition we are in, my hearers. We are just like Jonah in this respect. He was down in the sides of the ship, and he had no concern whatsoever about his life or about the other men's lives. And now we find that the shipmaster, he went down unto Jonah, and he awoke Jonah. He spake unto Jonah, and he said unto him, what meanest thou sleeper? Jonah, he woke up. What meanest thou sleeper? Pray unto thy God, call unto thy God, so that thy God may think upon us, so that we perish not. We are all praying to our God. Arise, Jonah, and call upon thy God. Join us, come up with us, and pray unto your God. It may be God may think upon us, so that we perish not. Do we read that Jonah prayed? Do we read that he came up on the deck, and that he bowed with these men and began to pray with them? We don't read a syllable about it. Now, this was a rebuke. This was a reproof that God used to awaken Jonah. He needed this. He was a child of God, and here he was in the midst of such a storm which had been sent expressly by God for him, and he was fast asleep. All this takes place in life, my hearers, that in the midst of the greatest trials sometimes, the greatest trouble that we may go through, we may be like Jonah, asleep, unconcerned, not realizing what our end would be should God suddenly cut us off. So this shipmaster, he spake to Jonah, awake, thou that sleepest. Oh, I would say to you, awake, thou that sleepest, then cry unto your God. Isn't it necessary, my dear, that each and every one of us cry unto God? Are we not all travelers to eternity? Are we not all sinners? Are we not all under God's curse and wrath and anger due to our sins? And cannot this come down upon us any moment? Should we not then cry unto God? Let me go with the words of the shipmaster. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and cry unto thy God. It may be that God would think upon us so that we perish not. Oh, there's so much meaning in these words, my hearers. We're all going to perish. We're all going to sink into hell if God don't think upon us, if God don't have mercy upon us. And this is the only way that we can come to God, is to cry to him, to beg him, to entreat him to have mercy upon us, that we perish not. Let me entreat you, my Bible class, bend your knees, seek this God, that you may not perish in your sins. Oh, he is coming to you with my feeble words, warning you, speaking to you in love. He loved Jonah. He sent this storm out after Jonah, and he loves his people with an everlasting love. Oh, it may be that he may think upon you, and that he may give you likewise that the fine grace and mercy in his sight. And these men, they were laboring to keep their ship going. The storm was so terrible. It was so terrific. They never had experienced a storm like this before. It was an extraordinary storm. And they began to throw out the wares that they had in the ship to lighten the ship. They did everything possible to keep the ship afloat. These men, they were tradesmen. They probably had a lot of things on board the ship that they were taking to other countries to sell, to gain profit by. But now when it comes to whether their life is going to be spared or not, they cast the wares of the ship overboard to lighten it. We read the very same thing of Paul when he was on that ship and they were in the storm for 14 days. Then they likewise cast out the tacklings of the ship and the wheat that they had on board the ship to lighten the vessel. But that's what these men did, all to save their lives. Oh, my hearers, this shows to us what riches are, what gain is, how suddenly and how quickly it can be taken away from us. Riches are not forever. Riches, they take wings and they fly away like an eagle. Oh, if only you, my Bible class, were so concerned as these mariners were. They threw everything overboard. Oh, if you could throw everything overboard and think just that one thing needful, your immortal souls, that they may be saved. Think of it, my hearers. Which are you concerned about? What you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? How you're going to get through life? How you're going to pay this and pay that? Or are you concerned about your immortal soul? Soul lost, everything lost. I am sure that if you were under the conviction of sin, you would cast everything away, that you might be saved, that you may find grace in the sight of God. Now, this is what these mariners did. They emptied the ship of all the wares that were in it to keep the ship afloat so that their lives may be spared. And we find that these mariners, they seen that this storm was such an extraordinary storm, they decided amongst themselves to cast lots, because they thought in themselves, God is in this storm. storm, and God sent this for some reason that one of us has done something, and therefore God has brought this upon us. So they decided to cast lots to see for whose reason this evil was upon them. And we read of casting lots in the Bible. We know that Saul, he cast lots to see who was the one that was the reason why that God didn't answer him. He had forbidden the people to eat until they had taken vengeance upon their enemies. But you know, Jonathan, he had not heard what his father had said, and he took some honey, and it lightened his eyes, and it strengthened him. And now, because he had done this, God didn't answer Saul when he inquired of God whether he should go up against the Philistines or not. And because God didn't answer him, he cast lots to see for what reason. And the lot fell upon him and Jonathan. Then the lot was cast, and the lot fell upon Jonathan. Jonathan was to die because he had disobeyed his father, but the people rescued Jonathan. But we read in the Proverbs, the lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposal thereof is of the Lord. Now, lots are only to be taken in particular things where there can be no peaceable solution. We are to cast lots very solemnly, with prayer and reverence before God, begging him to direct by his almighty power what we are seeking after. We are seeking an answer, a solution to some trouble, some problem, and we cast lots for it. This the heathens even did. They cast lots very solemnly, very reverently, knowing that God would have to give the answer thereby. We know that when the disciples were going to choose another disciple in the place of Stephen, why the lot was cast upon Matthias, and he was chosen unto the 12. They even did it at that time. And now this casting this lot, it's when they have something that they draw or they cast. These men, they decided to do this, and they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Jonah was the man, according to the direction of God in this lot, he was the cause of this evil and this storm being upon them. Now Jonah, he could have told him that before this. He didn't have to leave him cast lots. He knew that God sent this storm after him, but he wouldn't come out with it. He's just like you and I. We wait until we have to. He could have told him beforehand already. But when it came out that he was the man, then they began to question him. They began to ask him, for what reason is this evil come upon us? What is your occupation? What country do you come from? What people do you come from? These questions they put to Jonah. Many times in this life, if you have the grace of God in your soul, then you will have to come out for God. God will put you in spots and places where you'll have to come out for his name and for his honor, and to prove to people that you serve this God, that you worship this God. And now when these questions were put to Jonah, he answered them and said, I am a Hebrew, he says, and I fear the God who made the sea and the dry land. He was a person then that feared that great, that glorious creator who had created all things, who was the ruler of the universe and who reigned over the sea and over the dry lands. All my hearers, should these questions be put to you, What is your occupation? What country do you come from? What people do you belong to? What would you answer? Is it your occupation to fear God, to love God, to walk with God, to serve Him? Is it that you have been given to come by the grace of God, as they say in Hebrews 11? They were journeying to a city that God had builded and whose foundations were God. You have no country. You have no established residence here in this world. You are journeying to that glorious city above. Oh, who are the people that you belong to? Are the people of God your choice? Do you love them? Do you like to commune with them? Do you like to talk with them? Or is it just the opposite? Are you a slave of sin? Are you a slave of the devil? Do you belong to the world? Are they your companions? Do you live with them? Do you enjoy their company? Oh, what a terrible thing, my hearers. Love not the world, nor the things of this world. For the world and all what is therein shall perish. To who do you belong? Could you say with Jonah, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the God that made the seas and the dry land? What a testimony he had to give to these heathens. He didn't lie. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't flim-flam them. He told them who he was. And these words that he spake, they went into the hearts of these mariners. They accepted this testimony, and they began to fear these mariners. They feared exceedingly, it says, when Jonah told them who that he worshipped and who that he feared. All these mariners, this brought them to the realization that there was a God in heaven above, a great God. And now Jonah likewise explained unto them that he was fleeing from this God. He was running away from this God. They didn't know this when he took passage on board this ship. But now he had to come out with it. And now they began to speak unto him and said unto him, why hast thou done this? They weren't angry with him. They didn't fly into his face in a rage. No. They sympathized with him. Why have you done this? So foolish to run away from this God who you worship, who you serve. All these mariners, they had a lot of love for Jonah and for that God that he worshiped. And now we find that these mariners, they questioned Jonah and talked to him concerning what he had done. And Jonah, he seemed to be so indifferent, so hardened, so cold, and so terrible was this man Jonah. And these men, they spake to him, and they said to him, what shall we do? Because the sea didn't get any calmer because he admitted that he was running away from God. We do not read either that Jonah, when he was called upon by the shipmaster to pray unto his God, that he got down on his knees with them, which he should have done, and that he should have cried to God with them and begged God that God would keep the storm back and that he would bring them to land and that he would go back to Nineveh as he had been commanded to do. You don't read that? No, sir. So hard was Jonah. So set was he on going in his own way. And now then, when they questioned him, what shall we do with thee that the sea should be calm unto us? He said, pick me up and cast me into the sea, and the sea shall become calm unto you. What, they said? Pick you up and cast you into the sea. It's bad enough that you were the cause of us being in all this trouble, but to take your life, to murder you, to cast you into the sea. No, they thought not do that. So they struggled, they tried all their might to get the boat to go to land. It says, and they rowed exceedingly, but the tempest became worse yet. The storm exceeded all their attempts to get the boat to land. They couldn't. And now these men, having tried, they gave up trying. And they began to pray to this God, the God of Jonah. And they said, oh, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let not us perish for this man's life. And let not innocent blood rest upon us. For thou hast done as thou hast said. In this, we see that they are praying to God and telling God that it was God that sent the storm. He had done this. It was God likewise that had brought these mariners to cry to him. He had done this that these mariners would know that there was a true and living God. And they likewise had been trying with all their power to get the boat back to land, and they couldn't. And God knew this. It was God that withheld them from getting the boat back to land. And now thou hast done as thou hast pleased. They were more concerned about Jonah's life than Jonah was. When he said, take me up and cast me into the sea, no, they didn't want to do that. They tried with all their might to get the boat to land. But when they couldn't get it to land anymore, then they went to God with the matter. And after they had brought it to God, then they took Jonah, and they picked him up, and they cast him into the sea. Jonah didn't jump into the sea himself. If he had, it would have been suicide on his part. But he came the nearest of any saint of God to suicide when he caused these mariners to pick him up and cast him into the sea. He had said, and it was a prophecy, that if they'd done this, the sea would become calm. How did he know that? Did he know what was at the bottom of the sea? When you read the commentary, you would think that Jonah was in the state of repentance. That Jonah was very sorry for what he had done to these men, and that Jonah was now going to meet God, and he was going to be a repentant sinner. I don't see no repentance in Jonah at all. To me, Jonah was just as hard as could be. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, and he wasn't going to go even if they threw him into the sea, and he got thrown into the sea. But I marvel at this God that I worship, that I love, that I fear, that he took care of Jonah. Even though Jonah wanted to destroy himself, God wouldn't let him. No. God had prepared a great fish which was lying underneath the water by the boat waiting for Jonah to come into the sea. This God who controls the winds, who controls the sea, who controls the fishes of the sea, he caused this fish to be there. A great fish, big enough to take care of Jonah. And now when they cast him into the sea, could you picture what was going on in the mind of Jonah? This was the end for him. He was thrown into the sea. Did he know that God was going to have this fish there? No. No. This was sinking down into hell for Jonah. This was the end of him. But God will never let any of his children sink into hell. He wouldn't let this disobedient prophet do it. And never will he forsake the works of his hands. He caused this fish to swallow up Jonah. And no more than they had thrown Jonah into the sea, and then the sea became calm. What a wonder this was to these mariners. The word of Jonah was verified. If they threw him in, the sea would become calm, and it did. And when they seen that God controlled the winds and the sea, that he caused it to rise up, and that he caused it to become calm, then these mariners, they worshiped God. They offered sacrifices and vows. But these mariners, they were given to make vows that from now on they weren't going to worship their gods, but they were going to worship Jonah's God, the true God, the living God. And right on board the ship, I believe, they offered up sacrifices. What were they? Prayers and praises unto God, that he spared them for the sake of Jonah. They were all doomed to perish, but now they had cast Jonah overboard, and they were saved because Jonah entered into the sea, and the sea became calm. It was God that done this for them. They were so thankful unto God that he had spared their lives. They did not know that Jonah had fallen into the belly of a fish, no. But they were very thankful for the deliverance they had received. And Jonah, he came to rest in the belly of this fish. This became Jonah's grave. You know, Christ mentions, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, so the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah was in this a type of Christ. Of this grave, this burial that Jonah experienced, there was never one like it. God had prepared this place for Jonah, and so God had prepared the place where Christ was to be buried, for he had prophesied that he would be buried with the rich. So Jonah then in this is an eminent type of Jesus Christ. And Jonah was brought up out of this grave after 3 days. So Christ was brought out of the grave too, 3 days later. Jonah, he in doing this, spared these mariners, these Gentiles. They were given to repent and to see that there was a God who they should worship. So in and through Christ, a repentance has been proclaimed unto the Gentile world. Before this, it was only unto the Jews. But after Christ rose from the dead, the proclamation of the gospel has went from one end of the earth to the other. Jonah, he remained then in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. What took place in this fish's belly with Jonah? And how then he prayed unto God, we hope to continue next week, the Lord willing. This concludes our lesson for today.